إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we are having our 9th session, reading from Ashru Qawaid fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs, 10 Principles Concerning Purification of the Soul, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will be taking the 8th principle. But before we look at that principle, we're going to just review quickly some of the points that we discussed last week from the question and study guide number 8. The first question being, briefly outline the first 6 qawaid, principles related to purification of the soul. First 6 qawaid. Number 1. Naam. At-tawheed aslu ma tazku bihi an-nufus. Meaning? Tawheed is the foundation through which, or by means of which, souls are purified. Al-Qaida Thaniya. Naam, Umar. Tayyib. Zakat al-Nufus. Same meaning, no problem. Yani, number 2, الدُّعَى مِفْتَح. Yani, dua, supplication, is the key to purification of the souls. The key that opens the way to purification of the soul. Type, القاعدة ثالثة. ثالثة. غير عبد الحق. نعم. Somebody else. ثالثة. نعم. القرآن. The noble Quran. القرآن الكريم. It is the source. The منبع of تزكية. وَمَعِينُهَا. This is the source, the spring from which purification flows from the Quran. Al-Qaida al-Rabia. Number 4. Allahu Akbar. غيره. Other than these two. Somebody else. 4. Al-Qaida al-Rabia. Naam.
اتخاذ الأسوة والقدوة.
Naam. اتخاذ الأسوة والقدوة. يعني في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Taking the Messenger of Allah as the example, the role model to be followed in all affairs. Number 5, Al-Qaid Al-Khamisa. Naam. What's your name, brother?
Abdul Shakur.
Naam.
Righteous companions.
We didn't get to that one yet. Inshallah. We're going to come to that for sure. Naam, Akash. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Akash. I see you back there. I'm sorry. What's your name, brother? Did you have your hand up? Yes.
Waleed.
Did you have your hand up? Oh, Waleed, I didn't recognize you. Your hat is down, your glasses.
Can you take down the computer?
Tayyib, Allahu Akbar. Did you have your hand up, Waleed? Tayyib, Al-Khamis. Naam. At-Tazkiyatu. What is Tazkiya? It is Takhliya wa Tahliya. Meaning? Purification entails these two things. The first of them, takhliya, removal of the bad characteristics and actions and so on. And then tahliya is to adorn oneself with the good characteristics and actions and so on. Naam. Al-Qaida Sadisa, number 6. Naam, Ya Ibrahim. We thought maybe you're not here tonight. Ya Ibrahim, Al-Fulani. Ah, that's Sabia. Al-Sadisa. السادسة, number 6, that's 7. إغلاق المنافذ. تخرج تبعده في الرذيلة. نعم. يعني the sixth principle is what in English? Somebody help us. Somebody else other than Abdul Haq. نعم. Muhammad. Closing off the paths, the ways that lead to removing a person from tazkiyah. Closing those doorways, closing those passageways, which take a person out of the process of tazkiyah, and also tubaiduhu, make him become distant from virtues and cause him to fall into radhila. What's radhila? Vile actions, despicable behavior, so on. Naam. Okay, those are the first six we said, right? First six. Okay, question number two is mentioned Al-Qaeda Sabia. That's what we did last week. The seventh principle related to purification of the soul. Ya Ibrahim Al-Fulani. Al-An, naam. Tadhakkur Al-Mawt Wa Liqa'illahi Azza Wa Jalla. Meaning, somebody else, the English? What is the meaning? Naam. What's your name again? Sulaiman. Naam, Sulaiman. Remembering death and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani the day of accounting. Naam. And by the way, I don't want to get sidetracked, but all of these principles are of utmost importance. I hope that this remembrance of death and the reflection upon the meeting of Allah and contemplating over this affair will be a means to motivate us to actually correct ourselves. Yani to rectify our affairs and to prepare for this day. It shouldn't be something that we remember that is the talk of that night or the following day, and 1 week later we forgot about it. Yani this remembrance of death, I hope it's not gone already after only 1 week. I hope that it's not gone. It's something that we have to remember all the time, every single day. And that's a reminder to myself. First. Naam. Question number three. Memorize the ayat from the 59th surah, 18th ayat, in which Allah commands the people to look to what deeds they send ahead for themselves. Naam. Ya Ibrahim al-Sudani. Allah musta'an. Naam. Naam, that's the rest of it. We need that part. Yani the meaning of this, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullah. Fear Allah. Have taqwa of Allah. And all that entails. Naam. Wal tanzur nafsun. Let each soul, yani each soul must. This is a command, lam al-amr. Each soul must look to what it has sent ahead for tomorrow, meaning yawm al-qiyamah. Wa taqullah. The Shaykh didn't mention the end of the ayah, but he mentioned it. Ibrahim mentioned it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ and observe taqwa of Allah. Surely Allah is aware, fully aware of what you are doing, of all of your deeds. And this is one of the critical ayats in the Quran that if a person recites it every day, at least with reflection and contemplation, this will help you remember death and it will help you remember the meeting with your Rabb. Question number four. Mention four fundamental principles. Yani important points in Islam that yani are critical, yani essentials of Islam, mentioned in the above ayat in Surah Al-Hashr, 59th surah 18th ayat. 4 points. Naam, who didn't give us the answer yet? Naam, Shuaib. First one is Iman. What about Iman, somebody? The first one is Iman. By the way, just Iman, good. What's the second one? Second one, Naam, Musa. Qabla dhalik. Al-Taqwa. And the third one? Al-Muraqaba. And the fourth one? Al-Muhasaba. Third one is Muhasaba. And the fourth one is Muraqaba. Thank you, Ya Abd al-Haq. Naam. The first one, Iman. What about Iman? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, naam? Naam. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, when He's saying, O you who believe, He's calling on the people of Iman to be reminded that their Iman is what necessitates that they comply with the commands of Allah. And in this case, the command is the observance of taqwa of Allah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqu Allah. Taqwa of Allah. Taqwa of Allah meaning what? Yeah, it has a lot of interpretations scholars have given, but what we mentioned last week, what Shaykh Saadi said. Before that, naam. We're going to come. Avoiding the evil, fulfilling the commands. It's secretly and openly, observing taqwa of Allah secretly and openly, fi jamil ahwal. In all situations or circumstances, remembering the awamir of Allah and the shara'i of Allah and the hudud of Allah. Naam. Keeping consciousness of all of Allah's commands and all that Allah has legislated and all of the boundaries and limits that Allah has set in public and in private, in every situation or circumstance. And the third principle is what? Muhasaba. Muhasaba. Came from what part of the ayat? Muhasaba? وَالْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ يعني muhasaba means that a person takes account of themselves, knowing that the hisab, the account, is going to be taken by Allah يوم القيامة. So now, in this time, while we have a chance to rectify and correct and fix, we should be taking account of ourselves, especially knowing the last point that we're going to make here in this ayat is what? Al-Muraqabah, knowing that Allah is خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, that Allah is fully aware of all that you are doing. Knowing this, this is the great encouragement for a person not only to do good deeds and to avoid that which Allah has prohibited, but also to take account of yourselves before the account is taken, as Umar ibn al-Khattab said in his famous saying, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا, يعني take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. These are all very, very important principles: al-iman, al-taqwa, al-muhasaba, and al-muraqaba. Knowing that Allah is watching, that He is aware of everything that we do, nothing is hidden from Him, and none of it will be lost or wasted. Rather, we'll be called to account for it all. Question number 5: memorize the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ commands the people to remember the destroyer of pleasures. Who didn't answer yet? Nobody. Who didn't participate yet? You didn't participate?
No, I participated.
Who didn't give us an answer yet? Please, somebody help us. Wow. Tayyib, Fadlu. Okay, anybody else? Anybody? Huh? You memorize the hadith? Naam. Yani al-maut. The meaning of it, somebody else. He gave us the Arabic. What's the meaning? Uh-huh. Naam, increase, be frequent in the remembrance of the destroyer of pleasures. The destroyer, hadim al-ladhat, or hadim in some of the narrations, al-ladhat, the destroyer of pleasures, which is death. And he frequently remember death. Frequently means, ani on yomu jumu'ah? No. What does it mean? At the time of salah? All the time. And as much as possible, frequently, as much as possible, every day, as much as possible, morning, noon, and night. Let this be in the forefront of your mind. Some of the people of the Salaf said that if a person doesn't frequently mention death, it's not something constantly on their mind, there's something wrong with them. Yani, if you think good of them, don't think good of them anymore. If they're not conscious of this. Play. Question number 6. Mention 3 affairs in which death, al-maut, is the divider, the separator, or the distinguishing line. 3 affairs. Give me one of them. It divides between... Suleiman.
It divides between this life and your permanent residence.
Yani, هذه حياة الدنيا ودار الآخرة, القراء. نعم. يعني, this place, it distinguishes between the place, the life in this world, and the next life. It distinguishes between these two places. Naam. And also, it also distinguishes, separates. Naam. Do you have new glasses? That's why. Allah. If I was a witness and you were in the lineup, you would have got away. I wouldn't recognize you. Naam.
The time that an action
The action, the time of the action of you doing the deed and the time of Allah's action of rewarding you for the deed. Separating between the place, this world and the next, and the time. The time is the separation between the time when you can do deeds and when yani it will be time to receive its reward. And the third thing he said, Naam. ملاقات جزائه نعم يعني the rest of it is extra mashallah. The third thing he said, it is the separator, the line of demarcation between تقديم الزاد, your action of sending ahead, and the time when you receive it, and the action of the reward coming to you, meeting the reward. The separation in place, separation in time, and separation of the action. The action. Yani your action of doing deeds and the act of its reward, meeting its reward. Tayyib. Number 7. Memorize one of the ayat, either 62:8 or 7:34, which proves that death will definitely meet or reach every human being. Naam, Ibrahim. Surah Al-Jum'ah. Naam. Naam. In the beginning of the ayat, he said, somebody? The beginning of the ayat? That he started with. Kul innal maut. Kul innal maut. Naam. Indeed, surely the death from which you are fleeing, that you are running away from, it will surely meet you. It will surely meet you. And the other ayat? It will surely meet you. No doubt. Ya Musa? Naam, wherever you might be, doesn't matter. Hidden, public, on the earth, in the air, in the sea, wherever you may be, death will reach you. It will reach you, even if you are in high raised towers, fortresses, castles, whatever. It's not gonna save you from death when its time comes. Naam. The question number 8, can death, al-maut, be delayed or advanced as ahead of the appointed time? Mention a delil for your answer. First, can death be delayed or advanced? Yani, will anybody die before the time? Will anybody live a little bit longer, even an extra day or week or month?
No.
Naam, ya Umar. فَإِذَا جَاءَ عَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Naam. That it cannot. Its time cannot be changed. Its appointed time is fixed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, وَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ. When its time, yani term, that a person's lifespan that Allah has set, when it comes, there's no delaying it, even for 1 hour, no advancing it. Naam, ya Suleiman.
What about those people that be in the deathbed and sometimes they die and come back?
They died and they came back? On Yawm al-Qiyamah they'll come back. Naam. Nobody dies before their time. They will not die. Yani whatever they're claiming, yani when a person dies, that's the end of it until Allah resurrects. Lots of delils. Naam, give us another one. Naam. And Allah will not, or never. When the time comes, Allah will never delay it. Naam. Allah is fully aware of what you do. The last question is, discuss the statement of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah, concerning the remembrance of death. What did he say concerning the remembrance of death? From last week, I don't know if there's any here somewhere, but if we get an email for you, inshallah, we can send it. We usually send it out, yani, before the class. Naam, Saeed ibn Jubayr. Naam. And the meaning. Somebody else give us the meaning. Naam.
Yeah,
that my heart would be corrupted. Naam. If the fear, if the remembrance of death separated from my heart, if it was no longer there, then I fear that my heart would be corrupted. Yani by the absence of the remembrance of death. And that's why there's something wrong with somebody who's not remembering death. There's definitely something wrong. Yani, it's not personal, right? I don't mean that to say to anybody. I'm just saying all of us, every one of us, we are subject to the same. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll take a little bit extra time on the questions, but anyway, Allah help us, inshallah. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to take Al-Qa'ida Al-Thamina. Al-Qa'ida Al-Thamina 2. Al-Qa'ida Al-Thamina 2. Yani the eighth principle. By the way, this eighth principle, it is in English, in the English book on page 34 through 36. 34 through 36. And in Arabic text, it's on page 32, 33 and 34. The Shaykh said the eighth principle, تَخَيِّرُ الْجُلَسَاءِ وَانْتِقَاءُ الرُّفَقَاءِ. يعني تَخَيِّرُ, choosing, making a choice of who you choose as those who you will sit with and who will sit with you. جُلَسَاء, يعني choosing your friends, يعني choosing good friends. وَانْتِقَاءُ الرُّفَقَاءِ, يعني the rafiq is what? The person who accompanies you, your companion. And also being selective, intiqa, selecting carefully from those that are available, who you will take to be your companion. Selecting, choosing friends and companions carefully. The Shaykh, he mentions here one ayah and two hadith and one athar from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And for each of those two hadith, he mentions a brief explanation. And for the ayat also, a brief explanation. So, the ayat is the foundation. And the hadith are further explanation of what is intended here. The Shaykh, he began with the ayat. And this is yani, the normal way, right? That if we want to discuss anything about Islam, we should start with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. And then what the Prophet ﷺ said about it, and what the scholars, how they have explained them. The Shaykh, he begins with the ayah from Surah Al-Kahf. Naam. 18th Surah, 28th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ. Yani Allah is commanding the Prophet, commanding him, وَصْبِرْ, be patient. وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ, يعني صَبِّرْ نَفْسَكَ, make yourself to be patient, control yourself, restrain yourself, restrict yourself. يعني in reference to being with the people, the believers, يعني who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah along with them. وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ أَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ عَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. This ayat is the foundation, the Shaykh is using as the foundation for this principle, yani of the importance, the necessity, the absolute necessity of being careful in who you choose and who you select to be your friends, your companions, your associates. In this ayat, if it's not apparent, then it will become apparent how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here of the importance of choosing your companions, your friends, your associates. And he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasbir nafsaka, make yourself to be patient. Ma alladhina yad'una rabbahum, along with those who are yad'una rabbahum, meaning calling upon or worshipping, naam, literally calling upon, supplicating, making dua to their Rabb. But it means, of course, worshipping. Naam, ad-dua here, it means ibadah, those who are worshipping. Because ad-dua huwa al-ibadah, the Prophet ﷺ said. Dua is the core, the essence, the most important form of worship, dua. He said, be patient, Make yourself to be patient along with those. Yani patience and obedience to Allah and the worship of Him along with those who are worshipping their Rabb, who are supplicating their Rabb. بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ Morning and evening. Yani all day long, from the beginning of the day till the end of the day. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only are they worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day long, but their intent, their niyyah, is with ikhlas. They're doing it for the sake of Allah alone. Which is important, because some people are worshipping Allah, Allah only knows what's in their heart. Right? And that's how a person could perform prayer for 60 years. And the Prophet ﷺ said, not one of his prayers was accepted from him. Perhaps, yani, his intention, the ikhlas. If it's not there, Allah doesn't accept any deed in which anything or anyone is associated along with him in it. Yani, make yourself to be patient along with those who are calling upon their Rabb, worshipping Him morning and evening. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ Only desiring, intending the face of Allah. Meaning doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ And do not allow your eyes, your two eyes, to go beyond them, to go past them. To look past them, as some of the scholars said, mean the eyes meaning yourself. Don't go beyond them, don't go past them, don't leave them. As the Quraysh asked the Prophet ﷺ to get rid of these people, these poor, low people, and then we'll sit with you and listen to you. We don't want to sit with these people. And before the Prophet ﷺ could respond to them, Allah revealed to him, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ Be patient. Sit with these people. Forget about those people. These who are calling upon their Rabb morning and evening, desiring the wedge of Allah alone. Forget about those people. They're the nobles, the rich, the whoever, influential, powerful governors. Sit with these people. Worship Allah along with these people who are worshiping Allah day and night, seeking His face alone. Don't look past them to anything else. يعني لا تعد عينك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. Desiring the adornments of the life of this world. يعني don't think about sitting with those people who have the riches and the wealth and the influence. Don't look past these people thinking about desiring يعني the adornments of the life of this world. يعني تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. This is in reference to the people that we should be with. They are the people who are worshipping Allah alone, sincerely for His sake alone. And we should never look past them to the other people, no matter what it is that they have. No matter what the condition of these people are who are worshipping Allah, it is better to be with them than to be with the other people who have the whole dunya, whatever is inside of it. وَلَا تُعْتِ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَكَ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا And do not obey those who we have caused their hearts to be unmindful, to be heedless. Of our remembrance. Allah caused their hearts, and when they turned away, then Allah turned them away. Caused their hearts to be unmindful of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ And he followed his desires. Instead of worshipping Allah, he worshipped his desires. وَكَانَ عَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا And his affair, yani his worldly affair, and the hereafter, his all of it, it is lost, wasted away. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat. Yani, I think that with this commentary on this ayat, it became clear to us the importance of this matter, of who we should be with and who we should stay away from. Based on what? Shaykh al-Sa'di, he says in the tafsir of this ayat, fiha, yani in this ayat, is al-amru bi suhbati al-akhyar. وَمُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ عَلَى صُحْبَتِهِمْ وَمُخَالَطَتِهِمْ That in this ayah, it contains the command to accompany, to take companionship with the akhyar, the people of khayr, the good people, and to strive against your nafs, to fight against and struggle against yourself, to force yourself to accompany, to be with these people and to mix with them. Yani, the people of khayr. وَإِنْ كَانُوا فُقَرَى Even if they were poor people. فَإِنَّ فِي صُحْبَتِهِمْ مِنَ الْفَوَاعِدْ مَا لَا يُحْصَى For indeed, in accompanying these people, taking companionship with these people, there are benefits which cannot be enumerated. So many benefits, we can't even count them. This is what the Shaykh says, yani, concerning this ayah. This is the core of the issue, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take companionship with the people of goodness, people of khair, and to force yourself to be with them, and to mix with them, and to sit with them, even if they were in poverty, even if they have nothing of the worldly things. For indeed, keeping these people as your companions contains many benefits which cannot be enumerated. I'd like to go back to the tafsir, the complete tafsir of this ayat, if we have time in the end. Somebody please remind me. Let's go on. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions an ayat, which has the meaning, yani, of the same topic, of being careful, of the importance of who you choose, yani, for friends. Qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, reported by Abu Dawud, the Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hassan, Ar-Rajulu ala dini khalilihi, falyanzur ahadukum may yukhalil. Yani, a man will be upon the deen of his, yani, khalil. Close companion, close friend. Khalil is more than just a friend, it's a dear, close, intimate friend. Yani, the people who are your closest, not just, yani, oh yes, one of my friends. That, yani, you see now and then, you spend some time with them, you do something with them. No, your dear, close, intimate friend, khalil. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah had taken him as a khalil. If not for that, he said, I would have chosen Abu Bakr as my khalil. Except that Allah has, yani, chosen me as his khalil. Now, close, close companion. The man, a man, this is a statement from the Prophet ﷺ, that the man, the human being, will be upon the deen of his close friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ. Therefore, you must look carefully. Every one of you must look to whom he takes for a close friend. This is a fact. Okay? Now, even though some of us think that we are so strong and so powerful, if we take bad people for friends, we will influence them. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ar-Rajulu ala dini khalilihi." Be careful who you take for a friend. These people will influence you. And we saw so many people who just, like, yani, said, "Ah, I like this guy, I'm going to take him in, he's going to be my friend, we're going to hang out together." Allah, you can't do that with the people of shar and su' and fawahish. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that a person will be upon the deen of his dear friend. Therefore, be careful. Every one of you must be careful who he takes for a close companion. He mentions here concerning this briefly, concerning this hadith, قال أبو سليمان الخطابي رحمه الله, يعني, the author of Ma'alim al-Sunan, the Shar of Sunan Abi Dawood. He says, قوله, يعني, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, المرعو, by the way, يعني, الخطابي, he died in the year 386. Yani, in the end of the 4th century, 386, which means that he was from the early scholars. Yani, close after the time of the Tabi'een, not far away. He was a very early scholar. And he said, in reference to this hadith, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi, that a man will be, a person, will be upon the deen of his close friend. Ma'anahu, the meaning of it is, do not take as a close companion. A man will be upon the deen of his friend. The meaning of it is the Prophet ﷺ saying, لا تخالل إلا من رضيت دينه وأمانته. Do not take as a close friend anyone except the one whom you are pleased with his deen and his amana. You are pleased with the way that he's worshipping Allah and his, yani, trustworthiness. Yani, that he's a trustworthy person. His deen and his trustworthiness. Do not choose anyone as a close friend unless you are pleased with their deen. Pay attention to this. Unless you are pleased with their deen and their amana. فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا خَالَلْتَهُ. Because indeed, if you take him as a close friend, قَادَكَ إِلَى دِينِهِ وَمَذْهَبِهِ. If you take him as a close friend, then he will drive you. He will, يعني, قَادَ. He will direct you to his deen and his way of doing things. His deen and his madhab. Whoever you take for a friend. And do not, وَلَا تُغَرِّرْ بِدِينِكَ وَلَا تُخَاطِرْ بِنَفْسِكَ. Do not, يعني, jeopardize, endanger, do not subject or expose your deen and yourself by taking someone as a close friend whom you are not pleased with his deen and his madhab. Do not jeopardize your deen. Do not jeopardize your life by taking someone as a close friend. Man laysa mardiyan fi deenihi wa madhhabihi. Yani who you are not pleased with his deen and you are not pleased with his madhhab. You know that he is not worshipping Allah well. He is not worshipping, he is not concerned about his deen. He is not concerned. Yani you see the way that he acts and the way that he behaves and the way that he thinks. His madhhab, his minhaj is not good. This is how you jeopardize your deen and even your life. This is the meaning of this hadith. And there much more meaning could be mentioned, but he just mentioned it brief here. After this he says, وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ ابْنِ مَسْعُودِ. Based upon this, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, اِعْتَبَرُوا النَّاسَ بِأَخْدَانِهِمْ فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُخَادِنْ إِلَّا مَنْ يُعْجِبُهُ. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Who is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? Sahabi Jalil, alim min ulama sahaba, a great, magnificent, noble companion from amongst the scholars of sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the greatest companions in knowledge of the Quran, in understanding the Quran. Huh? And he was also, you said? A servant of the, and he attended to the needs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, اعتبروا الناس, يعني, test, examine the people. يعني, meaning, look at them to judge if you should take somebody for a friend or not. How will you judge the people? اعتبروا الناس بأخدانهم, by their close friends. Examine the people, test them. Carefully look at them to see if you can take them for a friend, by who they have taken for friends. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا تُخَادِنْ إِلَّا مَنْ يُعْجِبُهُ. Because a person doesn't take anybody as a friend except that they are pleased with that person, except they like what they find in that person. So if somebody has taken somebody as a friend, they have befriended them, why would they befriend them except they like what they see and what they hear and what they think is in that person? That's why they take them for a friend. Do you take a person for a friend who you see as being a criminal, a lowlife, a despicable person, an untrustworthy person, a filthy, lewd person? Are you going to take that person for a friend? If you see that, no way. You only take somebody for a friend because you like what you see. You see, this person is a good person. That's why you take it for a friend. So he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, judge the people by who they take for friends. Because a person doesn't take anybody for a friend except that they like that, what they see. So if that's what they like, that kind of person, leave them alone. Because they are like. And actually in some of the narrations of this saying from Abdul Mas'ud, it said that judge the people by their friends. فَإِنَّمَا يُخَادِنْ الرَّجُلُ الرَّجُلَ مِثْلَهُ. Because a man will only take another man as a friend who's like him. A person is a thief. He's taking somebody for a friend who's like him. Naam. You don't want to take as a friend a thief, a person who is filthy. Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said this. وَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Second hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as we approach the end of what the Shaykh is mentioning here. Hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said, مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالسُّوءِ. Or al-jalis as-sali wal-jalis as-su'i. That's the meaning. And it came in some of the narrations like that. Mathalu al-jalis as-sali was-su'i. Yani the example, the parable, the likeness of the righteous companion. Al-jalis, the one that you sit with all the time. The likeness, the parable of the righteous companion and the evil companion is the parable kahamili al-miski wa nafikhi al-khir. Al-khir. Yani is like the Hamil al-Misk, the one who sells perfumes. The perfume merchant, for lack of a better word. Fragrance, I don't know. In the places, on the streets, the brothers who sell the oils. In the old days. Huh? This is the likeness of al-Jalis al-Sali. Fahamil al-Misk, the one who sells the fragrances, sweet smelling fragrances, imma an yuhdhiyaka. Either he will give you as a gift, yu'tika hadiyya. Yani yuhdhiyaka means he will give you a gift, a hadiyya. Because if he's your friend and he's selling perfume, oils, he has a lot of them, he might give you a gift. Nothing to him, right? وَإِمَّا أَن تَبْتَعَ مِنْهُ. Or if he doesn't give you a gift, you buy something from him. You're going to, yani, support your merchant brother, right? وَإِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبَةً. Or the least that may come is that you'll find from him a nice, wholesome, sweet fragrance. Just being around him, you'll be in the presence of these nice, yani, fragrances. This is the likeness of Al-Jalees al-Salih. Yani you will get some kind of benefit. Either he'll give you a gift, or he'll sell you something probably at discount, right? Or, I know they always sell me stuff at discounts. Or, you will at least be in the presence of those sweet smelling fragrances. Amma Al-Jalees al-Su', as far as the evil companion. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَنَافِخْ الْكِيرُ, the blacksmith, the likeness of the evil companion is the likeness of the blacksmith, the one who blows the bellows. Imma an yuhriqa thiyabaka, either he will burn your clothing from the sparks, from the fire, and this from that. Wa imma an tajida rihan, or tajida minhu rihan khabithatan, or you will find from him an evil, foul odor, smell. Yani either from blowing the bellows, the fire that he's working with, it will, the sparks may burn your clothing, or at least a bad smell will come from him. This is the likeness of the righteous companion and the evil companion. Yani, the righteous companion will bring you some kind of good, greater or lesser. And the evil companion will cause some harm to you, greater or lesser. No doubt about it. There's no other way to see it. وَقَالَ الْقَاضِي عِيَادِ. Al-Qadi Iyad, he's one of the great scholars of hadith. And he did explanation Sahih Muslim even before Imam Nawawi. And we'll find a lot of times Imam Nawawi in his explanation of Sahih Muslim is taken from Al-Qadi Iyad. And his book is Ikmal Al-Mu'lim Bi Fawaid Muslim. He said, Qadi Iyad said in the explanation, rahimahullah, in the explanation of this hadith, he said, Fihi, yani in this hadith it contains two matters. Fihi, Tajannub Khulafa Al-Su'i Wa Majalisati Al-Ashrar Wa Ahl Bid'ah Wal Mughtabina Lin-Nasi. Naam. Yani in this hadith, there's the encouragement to tajannub, to avoid, to keep yourself distance from khulata as-su. Yani the people that you mix with in evil. Yani you engage in evil with them. Khulata as-su. Yani those who you mix with in the doing of evil. Wa majalisat al-ashrar. Or even sitting with the evil people. Yani, even if you're not engaging in the evil, just sitting with the people who are evil people, al-ashrar. Wa ahl al-bid'ah. And the people of innovation, even if they're not engaged in, yani, stealing and adultery and fornication, but they're ahl al-bid'ah. Yani, these people might even have some morals in terms of maybe this guy doesn't lie and he doesn't steal and he doesn't cheat, but he's ahl al-bid'ah. Not just the evil people of corruption and immorality, but the people of innovation, even if they are, they don't commit zina, and they don't steal, and they don't lie. But they are people of innovation. And those people, especially, who are backbiting the people. Because those people will engage you in it. If you don't participate actively, you participate passively. Why did he say, avoid these people? He says, يعني القاضي إياد said, لِأَنَّ جَمِيعَ هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْفُضُ أَثَرُهُمْ فِي جَلِيسِهِمْ. Because all of these types of people, the people who are evil in and of themselves, the people who are people of innovation, and the people who are just backbiting people, all of these people, they penetrate, يَنْفُضُ أَثَرُهُمْ إِلَى جَلِيسِهِمْ. Yani they penetrate, they reach, and they overcome, yani their effect overcomes the people who sit with them. It will cause harm to you. And the second matter in this hadith is al-haddu ala majalisati ahli al-khayr wa talaqqi al-ilm wal-adab wa husn al-huda wal-akhlaq al-hamida. The second matter in this hadith, yani jalees al-salih wa jalees al-su', yani warning against the people of evil and the people of innovation and the people who backbite. and slander is the encouragement to sit with the Ahlul Khair. Yani we are encouraged in this hadith to sit with the Ahlul Khair, Al-Jalis As-Sali, the people of righteousness, and receiving from them Al-Ilm, knowledge, Wal-Adab, good manners. Yani one of the benefits of sitting with the scholars is not only the knowledge that you received from them, which is what everybody wants to go there for, to get some knowledge, but even equally important, if not greater, is the adab, the manners that you learn from the scholars. Sitting with the scholars, yani, entitles a person to receive also, not just knowledge, but to learn good manners. وَحُسْنُ الْهُدَى And excellent, yani, huda, yani, good guidance, yani, the best of guidance. والأخلاق الحميدة And praiseworthy character. Praiseworthy character. So from the benefits of the Ahlul Khair, and especially from the people of knowledge, the Ahlul Ilm and the Ulama, is that not only we get knowledge from them, but we also get manners and character and the best of right guidance. فَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ فَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ So it is incumbent upon the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose, تَخَيِّرُ to choose, to be selective, to be careful who you take for friends. And that those who you take for friends be those who will help you, يُعِينُهُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ who will help you to do good. Yani who will remind you, who will encourage you, who will support you, who will facilitate for you the doing of good. فَإِنَّهُمْ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ تَزْكِيَةَ نَفْسِهِ وَصَلَاحِهِ For indeed, being with these people, the people of khair, is from the greatest means or causes of purification and rectification of the nafs. And it is also incumbent upon the abd to be warned, to be cautioned from the khulata, الشر وجلساء الفساد يعني those who you mix with who engage in evil. Be cautioned from being with these people. And يعني the friends, those who you sit with who are people of corruption. For indeed, he said, فَإِنَّهُمْ أَخْطَرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْجَرَبِ Yani because these people are more dangerous to you than the jarab. What is jarab? A germ? It's a type of germ or insect or something?
Scabies.
Scabies? Like crabs. Okay, it's a type of yani insect or worm or something that actually goes underneath the surface skin of the human being and feeds on their blood and lays eggs. And this caused the person to be itching and scratching terribly. He said, the Shaykh said, that they are more dangerous to you than these insects who get under your skin and suck your blood and lay eggs underneath your skin. What filthy evil is this? Naam. We still have a few minutes remaining. I want to look at the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi a little bit, yani of the first ayat that the Shaykh brought. He said concerning this particular ayat, yani the Shaykh actually, in the book here, he quoted just a part of the ayat that's related specifically to the topic. And in the tafsir, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he says, yani, and make yourself to be patient with those who are calling upon their Rabb in the morning and the evening, desiring only the face of their Rabb. And do not look past them, desiring the adornments of the life of this world. And do not obey those who we have caused their hearts to be neglectful or unmindful of our remembrance, and who only follow their desires, and their affair is total loss. The Shaykh says that in this ayat, wasbir nafsak, he said, Ya'mur ta'ala nabiyuhu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat is commanding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the others, yani his followers, they are also coming under this command the same way. Yani those who are subject to his yani guidance, they are also yani following in this command. to be patient, to make yourself to be patient with the believers, the worshippers who are turning back to Allah. يعني الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداه والعشي, meaning أول النهار وآخر. يعني those who are worshipping Allah, calling upon Allah from the beginning of the day and the end of the day. يعني all day long. And they only want by this, their only intent is the wedge of Allah, the face of Allah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah فَوَصَفَهُمْ بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ فِيهَا. Yani Allah described these people, that He ordered the Prophet and ordered us to be patient in being with the people, with these people. He described them as people of worship and people who are sincere in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this ayat, and this is what the Shaykh quoted in the book, in this ayat is the command to accompany the best of people and to force yourself to accompany them and to mix with them, even if they are poor people. For indeed, in accompanying them are many benefits which cannot be enumerated. Then the Shaykh in the tafsir went on to saying, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَكَ عَنْهُمْ. Yani the benefit of this tafsir and any tafsir from the people of Sunnah is that we understand these ayats more than what's on the surface. Perhaps a person might read this ayat in English translation, a good translation, over and over and over again, and they will not get this. Rather, even an Arab whose language is Arabic may read the ayat in Arabic over and over again, and they will not get what's in the tafsir. So, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't look past them with your eyes, He said, don't let your sight nor your eyes to look past them or to go look above them to others, desiring the adornments of the life of this world. Indeed, this will cause harm to you, and it will not benefit you, and it will cut you off from that which is in the interest of your religious affairs. And indeed, it will cause you, it will necessitate that your heart be connected to the dunya. If you look past these people to those people, who just are any people who have wealth and yani material things in this world, it will necessitate that your heart become connected to the dunya like those people that you turn to. And then all of your thoughts yani will be in the dunya. And the raghba fil akhirah, the desire for the next life, will dissipate from your heart. For indeed, the adornments of the dunya cause the sight of the person to be lost and their heart to be yani under, like a, I mean their aql, their intellect will be like a person did magic on you. Yani you won't be in control of your mind anymore. So your heart will become unmindful of the remembrance of Allah, and then you will turn towards yani desiring, seeking the pleasures and the desires of this world. In that case, you will waste your time and you will lose your whole affair, and you will be a loser. Yani al-khasara al-abadiya, yani the eternal loss, والندامة السرمدية, yani the constant, never-ending regret. This is what it will lead to. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not obey those who we have caused their hearts to become unmindful of our remembrance, meaning they became unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the end, Allah caused them to be unmindful of His remembrance. They only followed their desires, their hawa. He said, Sara taba'an lihawaha. Yani, that person became one who was submissive to and subject to his desires, such that whatever his nafs desired, he did it. Whatever his desires called him to, he did it. And he strove and made every effort to achieve it, to get whatever, yani, whether it's wealth or cars or homes or clothing, or things of this dunya, whatever it is, all of his effort is to achieve it. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِيهِ حَلَاقُهُ وَخُسْرَانُهُ. Even if that led to, yani it contained his destruction and his total loss. Because this person is the one who has taken as his God his desires. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Did you see the one? Did you not see the one who has taken his desires as his God? وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ. And Allah caused him then, after that, to be astray, yani based on knowledge. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. The Shaykh says, yani مَصَالِ دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَاهُ. Yani that which is in the interest of his deen and his worldly life, all of it would be lost. It would be abandoned. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited obeying such a person. وَلَا تُطِعُ يعني do not obey the one who we have caused him to يعني be unmindful, his heart يعني to be unmindful of our remembrance. يعني for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited obeying such a person, because obedience to that one only calls a person, obedience to that one only calls a person to follow him. If you obey him, then you will follow in his footsteps, because he will only call to that which he has been described with. Yani of evil and corruption and so on. And this ayat, the Shaykh, he ends by saying, this ayat points to the fact that the one who has the right to be obeyed and the one who should be the imam for the people is the one whose heart is filled with the love of Allah. And this came flowing on his tongue. Yani what's in his heart is expressed on his tongue. And he is constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. And he is seeking the pleasure of his Rabb. So he gave precedence to the pleasure of his Rabb over his desires. And in this way, he was able to protect and preserve his time. And his condition is improved. And his actions are upon uprightness. And he is the one who will call the people to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. And for this reason, it is only right that this person be followed and that they be made an imam. And the Shaykh says, and the sabr in the beginning of this ayat, wasbir nafsaka, yani the sabr that is mentioned in this ayat, what is intended by it? What is intended by this sabr? Yani what is the meaning of sabr? What does sabr entail? Huh? Patience, steadfastness. Yani what are the types of sabr? Sabr on obedience to Allah. An ma'asiyatillah. Patience from disobedience to Allah, and sabr with the calamities that, yani the distasteful things that Allah decreed to befall you. What sabr is intended here?
Sabr with the people. I mean, sabr with the righteous people.
Sabr with the righteous people. But which of the three types of sabr? Obedience to Allah, avoiding disobedience to Allah, or patience with calamities?
Obedience,
calamities. The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, he said, as sabr, all of them. الصبر المذكور في هذه الآية هو الصبر على طاعة الله. الصبر على طاعة الله. Why is الصبر على طاعة الله? It is because Allah is saying وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. يعني be patient to be and sit with those people who are worshipping their Lord day and night. صبر with what? Obedience to Allah. And the Shaykh says that this صبر that is mentioned here is صبر, yani being patient with obedience to Allah. الَّذِي هُوَ أَعْلَى أَنْوَارَ الصَّبْرِ, which is the highest level of sabr. The highest level of sabr is sabr with obedience to Allah. وَبِتَمَامِهِ تُتِمُّ بَاقِيَ الْأَقْسَامِ. And with, if a person completes and perfects this type of sabr, then the other divisions of sabr will also, yani, follow. They will also be completed. If a person is patient with obedience to Allah, then necessarily they will become patient with avoiding disobedience to Allah, and they will be patient with what Allah has decreed for them. And this ayat is an indication that it is mustahab al-dhikr wa-du'a wal-ibadah. Al-dhikr wa-du'a wal-ibadah in general. Yani this ayat said they were calling upon their Rabb morning and evening. He said that this ayat tells us that remembrance of Allah and calling upon Allah and just worship in general on both ends of the day, yani morning and night, is indicated in this ayat. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them for this action. And whenever Allah, and every action that Allah praises, the one who does it, this is an indication that Allah loves it. Every action that a person is praised for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an indication that Allah loves that action and loves that person. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love something, then he will command the people with it and he will encourage them to do it. And I'm going to close here, but I'm going to refer you to one other hadith that perhaps at another time we'll mention that's in this topic. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, لَا تُصَاحِبْ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنًا. Do not accompany anyone except a believer. وَلَا يَأْقُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيٌّ. And don't let anyone eat your food except a person of righteousness, taqwa. This hadith has an explanation. Perhaps if we have some time in the next class, we'll look at the explanation. Huh? I'm sorry, what did you say? The last part of the hadith, وَلَا يَأْكُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيٌّ. يعني don't accompany anyone except a mu'min. Person who has iman, in terms of what, we don't know what's in a person's heart, but what we see from their actions. And don't have anyone eating your food except a taqi, a person who has taqwa. And this doesn't mean that if you have a guest who's not a person of taqwa, that don't feed them. It doesn't mean that you can't invite a non-Muslim to eat some food as a means of da'wah. But it means that this is not the person that you're constantly going to be with, and that you're going to invite, and that you're going to accompany. The people of filth and corruption and unrighteousness and immorality and kufr and shirk. These are not the people that you take for your friends. These are not the people that you are going to regularly, consistently, habitually be eating with. And Allahu A'lam, yani it is incumbent upon us to look at ourselves. And I'll close with this reminder to myself first and all of us, to look at ourselves in reference to this ayah and these ahadith. Who we have chosen for friends, and in the future who we will choose for friends. And whether or not some of the people that we associate with, that we need to get away from them. Wallahi, this is a serious matter. This is one of the greatest means of purification of the soul. It is in the choosing of friends, of companions, who you will be with, who you will spend time with. Because indeed, a person will be upon the deen of his close friend. Indeed, that person will have some effect upon you. Whether it's greater or lesser, like the one who blows the bellows, the blacksmith, they will have some kind of harmful effect upon you. Whether it's a little bit or a lot. Whether it's a little bit or a lot, we don't need any of it. We don't need any of it. Yani choose carefully your companions, brothers and sisters. Choose carefully who you take for companions. That doesn't mean the people that you work with on the job, that you don't have no control of them working there. The people that you sit with in the classroom, at school, at the university, that you don't have no control over who's in the classroom. It means who you choose to accompany, to be friends with, to spend time with. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك. Before we close, next week the class is going to be after Maghrib. And you know on Sunday at 2 a.m. they're going to change the clocks, right? So instead of it being 2 o'clock, they're going to make it 3 o'clock. Okay? Please pay attention to this so that you don't get mixed up in your worship, in your prayers. So next week the time is going to be different, right? So the time that we normally have this class, we're going to have it at the same time. But because they're going to change the clocks, it's going to be Maghrib instead of Isha. Okay? So when we came for Maghrib, the class is going to be after Maghrib next week, inshallah. And by the way, those who are in Arabic class, the schedule has changed completely. The first class, the second class, the third class, and the last class, they all have new times posted on the board there. Hopefully the sisters put it up in the sisters' area. In accordance with this new clock time that they made the time later, earlier, I don't know, whatever, however they do it. Because the Salat time is going to be different. Normally we used to pray at 12:30 Iqamah for Dhuhr. We're going to be making the Iqamah at 1:30. So the first class is going to be before that, and the second class is going to be after that, and the third class is going to be in line like that until the last class. Naam, the time will be the same. They just change the numbers. Sleight of hand. They think they are magicians. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.